life on the road. It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
Kennison's family, his parents were preachers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Kennison was a preacher, I believe.
Yeah, and was Hicks somehow, was someone in his family religious?
You know, I don't know. He's from Texas. I'm sure he was very religious.
Yeah.
But he had a thing about religion anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for tuning in the Road Stories podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Murray Valeriano. We are part of the All Things Comedy Network. I'm sorry I didn't make it out to the ATC Fest. I'm sure you guys had a blast out there. I had great shows here that I had to stay in town for. Thank you for selling out last Saturday night and last night. It didn't happen yet.
Last night hasn't happened yet?
Last night's tomorrow night.
Last night's tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This will go on up on Sunday.
Fantastic.
And so last night.
Last night's tomorrow
was
night.
Was fantastic.
Oh, my God. Congratulations, man.
Thanks. It was really
so
more
glad.
The,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's more of the listeners than me.
Yeah.
I think.
I like the idea that last night's tomorrow night. I wish you, I mean, just to walk up to say that to somebody, like whisper in there and go, hey, last night's tomorrow night.
Oh.
What? Okay, crazy.
It's very, what's that World Party song?
World Party.
Goodbye Jumbo. That just reminded me of it.
Where, World Party. Well done. Was World Party also part, were they the guys that were the water boys?
Yes, yes, yes.
Shit, you're living in my wife's fucking, that's right in her, that's her wheelhouse, man.
Yeah, she, this one line on that song, like, all the clocks wall and run backwards, all the sheep will have two heads, Thursday night and Wednesday will be on Tuesday night instead.
That's
just
a fantastic
a fucking
lyric.
Great line, isn't it?
I'd quit after that. That's enough.
I think they did.
I would. That's so funny. The Water Boys. I think they actually made an SNL appearance.
Water Boys?
I feel like they did. Or maybe World Party. Maybe it was that World Party.
Yeah, that World Party had a, they had a blip in there in the late 80s. I don't think the Water, I love the Water Boys probably more than I love World
Party. I went with the good looking guy. I didn't go with the World Party. There were two guys and they split up.
Yeah.
And the shorter guy made that band. And I went with the other guy who looked a little bit more Keith Richards or Mick Jagger. But I don't think he, I bet on the wrong pony there.
Yeah, he did.
Because World Party actually did real well.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a moment.
So you went, you should have gone Wilco. But you went Sunvolt.
I went Sunvolt. Yeah.
I picked Sunvolt. The wrong.
God, I feel like I'm that guy. I bought a scratcher yesterday for the first time, probably in 20 years. I was like, I'm going to buy a scratcher. And it fucking lit. It caught fire in my hand. It was like, gambling does not want me in any way. I never win anything. And I always think, maybe this will be my time.
This is the one.
This will be the one. I haven't done anything in 30 years, and here I'm going to just scratch this off. It's just a Day of the Dead one.
Yeah, oh,
I think the most I can win is 1,000, but I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Nothing.
It just,
I was working on a TV show back when, before the Powerball hit the $1 billion or whatever it is this week. It was,
yeah.
It was like, it was huge for the time. I don't know what it was, 75 million, who knows?
Yeah.
So we all in the office, all the writers, all the PAs, all the producers, the editors, everybody pitched in 10 bucks. And got, I don't know, literally hundreds of lottery tickets. Guess how much we won?
Zero.
Goose egg.
I mean, that's
goose
the,
egg.
That's the thing. But you know what's interesting? Now that time has gone on, I was thinking about this yesterday because then I was going to buy a lottery ticket because I, you know, somebody mentioned it to me, and there were like seven different ways to play, and I'm like, I don't know. And I walked out. I couldn't figure it out. Do I want to win some of the money or some sort of the? Do I want six or how many? Do I, how many things? I'm like, what about the thing where it just you just go, I'm buying a ticket, you pick the numbers, and it goes, and then you have a thing that you hold onto for a week.
Yeah.
But this is like, the test you took in high school. There's like, you have to take an SAT test worth of filling out.
Really?
How do you do it when you, do you ever buy a lot of
tickets? I haven't bought it since I learned the lesson of
how far,
$9,000 and get zero in return.
How far is the 7-Eleven from here? Is there a market here?
Oh, sure, we can get one.
Yeah, I think afterwards we should go grab. I mean, it's 175, or it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know.
And your odds of winning are just the same as losing. No, That doesn't. That's not right.
I don't think that's that would be
but
even money.
I know people who've won. That's how long it's been around. So I have a friend that I went to college with, and he and his brother, they were twins, and Larry and Lee. And Lee was a guy, and I love him.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fuck up.
Yeah, well,
he's the guy that when we go to some stranger's house to buy cocaine, he just somehow vomits red wine that I never saw him drink in this cocaine addict's white everything. We were in an all white everything. He's like, I'm like, Lee, fuck, what the? Sometimes you look down the bar and he would just like he was always. But good guy, great taste in music, but just one of those guys like, oh, I don't know how it's going to go for him. And he won. He won millions of dollars, millions and millions, millions
really?
Of dollars. Yeah. He won the Oregon State Lottery.
Did he not die from it, or is he still around?
He has not died from it. Yeah. I don't know if maybe that was the validation he needed.
Right.
I mean, it's hard to think about not having money. I don't know if you have to drink a lot of Merlot and certainly not add that to cocaine.
Because there's that whole like the documentary series about people who win the lottery and it destroys their lives.
I would like the. I've already destroyed my life, so let's.
Now you just need the money.
I just need the money. Yeah, I can find a way for it not to destroy my life. What is the common thread in that?
I don't know. I don't remember. It was a short-lived series. That's UPS. Thank you.
I really wanted to give it to you.
What? Oh, does he need me to sign something?
No, I don't think so.
I never have to sign.
Not anymore. They usually don't even knock on our door. They just drop it.
We get so much stuff shipped to us, they just yell UPS and walk away.
Who does the buying, you or your wife?
She does.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot that I can, like, every once in a while I just get something just so I can have a package.
I know. I'm so excited that the screeners are starting to come now, so I get stuff addressed to me.
Oh, right.
Yes.
It's
By the
time.
Way, I'm sorry. I just, this is my guest, Greg Barrett, today. Not that you guys don't already know that.
Oh, man. Well, you probably picked up the album cover because you put these out in vinyl, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you sign it? Wouldn't that be great if you made
it? Did you bring a few albums for my listeners?
What's that?
Did you bring a few albums for my listeners?
I did.
You did?
No. Do you have to bring a few albums?
No, you don't have to.
If
you had one, we could give it away.
Oh, I wish I did. No, all my recordings now are, this one is absolutely just a...
straight dig.
Straight digital.
I never said straight dig in my life.
That is such a dad thing that you did. That is such a like. You going straight edge? What are you saying, Dad? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You're doing it just all binary. What? You're binary, bro. Kicking it up with his ones and zeros. Stop saying binary and
Everybody's
talking like
fine.
That. Yeah. Oh my God, that's so funny, straight edge. This is the only time I've done that. No one's has had album faith in me, and I think they're right. Although a friend of mine said, hey, I really think you should release your first one on vinyl. And I was like, God, I would love to have 5,000 of that in vinyl in my garage next to the original CDs, of which I printed 2,000, and then the ones that Warner Brothers remade. Just keep them all in boxes. And when you go to sell them, it shows people like, you're giving those away, right? Yeah. This is just it. There's some stickers too.
Yeah, I don't know about them.
Do you merch?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
You know what I learned?
What?
And I had this conversation with a comic the other day that when you say the word merch to mm-hmm. people who are not in comics, you sound like a douchebag.
Oh, I think before I even get to that word, I think people have that feeling.
Well, I'm just because I was talking to my friend I was surfing with, and I've been putting together this Halloween costume because we have to go to a Halloween party.
Okay,
that is a family party, and that the woman always makes it a theme just to add pressure and ruin the fun. So, so I had to come up with this Halloween costume
on a theme.
And
theme is Halloween.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a costume.
It's fun. That's the theme.
Oh, man.
And so I can't. And our buddy Angela Warner is making the t-shirts for me.
Oh, awesome. He's great at that.
Yeah. So
are you going straight dig? We're doing it straight dig.
Doing it straight dig.
The merch. Well, I mean, yes, you're right, because it's short for merchandise and you forget that. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, when we're talking it, I don't, you know. But I was talking to my friend who surfing with, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll get my merch guy to do it. She's like, merch? Like, what's that? Merchandise. It's like, oh, you sound like a douche. I'm like, oh, sorry,
you're
I forgot
fucking,
I'm in the water.
You're a goddamn surfer. If you fucking don't know what merch is, what happens when you leave this beach?
Yeah.
Give your board back. If you have a board and you surf, you've been to shows, you know what merch is because the merch guy
is there. By the way, that's why I don't want to play the lottery either, because they always tell you have a better chance of being attacked by a shark than winning the lottery.
Oh,
that
man.
That doesn't make me feel good.
That does not sound good. Mm-hmm. Well, I get that. I get that. I just feel like sometimes I'm like, why don't you participate in, you don't participate in a lot of life's offerings. You know, I'm not, I found this recently, like when I go to any event where there's at the school with mm-hmm. the kids, other dudes, you know, like when I'm around comics, I don't need anything else to talk about because we all know what we can, you know, what we think. But other guys, they love sports, apparently. And I don't follow it. And I used to I played all of them when right. I was a kid and you know, not well, but I was well versed. And so I'm like, why don't I do that? I don't know when I decided I don't do this and I don't gamble and I don't, because I know I'm not predisposed to that being an addiction.
Sure. Okay.
There's just nothing. I'm still like, are the red cards more than the black? No. Okay. So we're good. Okay. So, but I am, sometimes I think, man, I don't do enough of the stuff that life has. Like outdoor, like I just didn't, like I'm a bad surfer and I have tried a lot and sure. I just don't have, the ocean and I are a little bit like gambling. The ocean's like, look, man, you're a sand guy. You're right. Sand and then up to the knees. When you get out here, man, it just gets tricky for you mm-hmm. and dumb way to die. Mm-hmm. I know you love surfing, but play in a surf band because we don't need you in the way.
Yeah.
And you don't need to cut your head open again doing it. So, but I love that people do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you have to, that's the one you have to work for. That's not going for a jog. That's not going for a hike.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole, putting that fucking rubber suit on is not easy.
Yeah, no, it's so everybody always asks me what's the hardest part about surfing, and I can honestly say everything. It is a hard thing to do.
But yet it's still one of those things that it really, in, you know, in terms of other things, so few people do it. It's still cool if you do.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
When you tell, I love paddleboarding and paddle surfing, but You tell people that, and that just sounds like you're doing something with a bunch of other old people.
Right.
And you do that, and do you do that running in the pool too? No, it's paddle. It's the same.
And they can do it in Wisconsin.
I mean, Laird Hamilton. They don't. Then they're already checked out.
Right.
Why is that guy yelling Laird Hamilton at me?
Hey, if you ever want to go paddleboarding, let me know. We'll go down to the marina.
Oh.
Yeah, and go down by the boat slips and check
the
seals hanging on the boats.
I'd totally be into that. Yeah, because I can stand in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and I got pretty good core strength. I just found that I don't know what it was. I started, you start paddling, and all of a sudden you're going, and you're like, man, this is fucking great.
Yeah,
like it doesn't look as good as it feels.
Yes,
when you see people doing it, you go, oh, yes, that's okay. Well, that seems like why doesn't he just surf?
Yeah,
but you're just like fucking. Oh.
You know what they're doing now that really bugs me, and this is surf talk. Sorry, guys, my listeners are like again.
Well, I started it.
There are. They get these stand-up paddle boards, really thick ones, and then they paddle out to the middle of the marina where it's flat like a lake.
Yep.
And then they do yoga on it.
Yeah. Okay. That's. Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's like, man. Yeah.
You know how hard it is for me not to paddle over and push them over. just like right when they're in a downward dog, I just want to tip them. I'm just like, can you not?
Did I ever...
Everybody's working to make the coolest sport uncool. Is that what we're trying to do here?
I mean, fuck, both of those are beautiful disciplines, and they belong exactly where they belong, on a mat and in the ocean, and neither the twain shall meet. So maybe, I don't know if I told you this story, but when I've been sober now for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had a little slip with the OxyContin when I was getting over cancer. But it's all good now.
Mm-hmm.
And... So when I first started, a friend of mine said, hey, man, you know, have you ever done surf therapy? Hmm. And I mean, like, go surfing and stuff? Like, no, there's guys that, like, there's a guy that takes you out, and you go out, and he's like a sort of a, like a Buddha, like a guy that, like, be fun to go out, and you talk to him, and that kind of thing. And you do it out in the ocean. It's just a way, it's like having therapy, but in the water.
Sure.
And I thought, well, shit, that sounds fun. You guys, this girl goes, look, this guy's great. You know, I take my sons out to them and all that kind of stuff. So I get there and there's this guy and he's a little cooked, you know, like the guy's like, oh, he spent a little bit more time outside than in.
Right.
And, but he seems pretty nice. And he works with her kids, but her kids are have autism.
Mm-hmm.
And so just getting them in the water and taking them out, that sort of is the thing. But sure. I have a more complex set of problems,
right,
based on fears and anxieties. And we get out there and he goes, so you're like, this is pretty cool, right? What? I just gave you, I think I gave him $150 or something. And by the end, I'm going, look, dude, you don't call her. What? But I know. I'm not even fucking kidding you. I am not kidding you. I'm like, look, man. He goes, yeah, I'm doing good. You know, I got this movie's gonna. I think I'm a producer on this. I'm like, oh my fuck, this is hilarious. Like, it's he dumped all this stuff on me. His life sounded awful. He was living in his wife's place, but she'd remarried. It was, and he was a sweet man.
Do you feel like you helped him? Do you feel like you helped him a little bit?
I think it's a fucking great con. You give him $150 and then he makes you feel like you know something. I'm like, I mouth off all the time. I need to, anyway.
Oh, man.
It was a cool, but there is something about sitting out on a board and mm-hmm. just, you know, just rocking there, being there, you know.
My first reaction to that, and I look at talking about surfing like you talk about parenting to people who don't surf and to people who don't parent. You just don't. They don't get it. And the more you talk about it, the more people roll their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
So
imagine talking about surf music, which people, they're lost at the beginning of the sentence. And by the end, you're in the witness protection program and you're still standing right there.
So at the risk of sounding too stereotypical surfer, but I just think surfing is therapy.
Yes.
I think there's just something about the ocean that is inexplicable. That's why they've never been able to make a good surfing movie. Because you just can't explain the appeal of it and show the appeal of it. I mean, you can see the appeal of it, but you miss that spiritual side.
Yes. I mean, I feel like even just when you cleanse my favorite feeling in the world, like the thing I love the most about the, I guess the reason I wish I was a surfer is I don't want to go under.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested in any of those sports. Also, it's just so fucking cool looking. But getting out of the water and your skin tightens up and it's hot and you just feel different. You feel ocean air is a whole other thing. Like when I pulled up here today, and I don't know if this neighborhood was always as cool as it is now. I'm sure it's one of those ones that was cool and has been getting cooler, but it is fucking awesome where you live and you're close to the water. And I think, man, I really wished we just didn't adventure out this way.
Yeah.
You know, but I think there's something really, my kids love being near the ocean. We have family in Hawaii, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have family in Oahu. And so, you know, if you grow up there, you surf. If you live there, you just surf. Even the worst surfer there is better than, you know, like,
right.
Because that's what everybody does.
Sure.
But yeah, you're right. There is something. It'd be like if during yoga somebody was talking. I mean, like, I feel like the discipline is surfing is that thing of you and the board and the water and the earth and trying to figure out your balance and, you know.
Well, there's a thing too about because we all moved to Los Angeles for one entertainment.
Yeah.
So nobody. It took me years to find the ocean here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like people are like, oh, really? You go to the beach every day? I'm like, no, I live in Hollywood. That's like 2 hours with traffic, you know?
Right.
No, I don't go to the beach. I have a vampire tan, you know?
Yeah.
And so it took me years and years to find the water.
I think the other thing that's cool about it is on men of our age or my age, at least, it weathers you nicely. When you look like a guy who's out by the beach as an older guy, there's just something about that keeps you kind of, obviously from the sun, but just the constant like refreshing, you know, like it just does something to your body that makes you feel like, I don't know, just I love old surf dudes, you know?
Yeah.
But it is also, I think the other thing people don't really understand about this is like, these beaches are not great. Really, as far as beaches go, it's they're pretty kind of gross, and the sand's kind of gross. Like there's
the water's kind of gnarly.
Yeah, water's gnarly. It's not like there's, you know, I mean, there's, you know, surf comes and goes, but it is, you know, you can go further up or a little bit south and like that, but and it's no Hawaii.
No, it's not.
Or yeah, The Oregon coast is beautiful, but not a place you want to spend a lot of time in the water.
I'm going to be up in Oregon in November. I'm hoping on the coast. I'm hoping to try and find some surf there.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
My buddy Andy Wood is from there. Hopefully, he'll direct me.
Yeah,
where to go?
Yeah, well, there's I know because that's where I went to college and grew up, and my family's from Portland. So
oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My mom's family's from Portland. I went to college at the University of Oregon. My dad owned radio stations. I spent most of my life up there. And then when I met Amir, I spent a lot of my time in Hawaii. Those are my two favorite places. Those are the two best states in the union by far. I love California, but it's epic and it's a lot of things. But Oregon, because it's not Seattle, which is just one shade darker.
Right, right.
Oregon has, God, it's fucking gorgeous.
It is beautiful up there. And Hawaii is the only place that ever lives up to its postcards.
Kauai.
Yeah. Oh, especially.
Kauai, yeah. I mean, I find the whole place, there's I don't know what it's called, but it's that thing of like when you, like Palm Springs, if you, it's at one of those zeniths or someplace in the earth where there's a cosmic shift in the fucking atmosphere or something. And you go there and you go, oh, I feel this, whatever it is. I feel the thing. And Hawaii is that thing you get out, you breathe the air and you go, oh my God, the air is good for you. The air here feels like I've had nutrients. I'm eating now and I haven't done anything. And I'm sorry, I'm white.
Yeah, exactly.
And I apologize for everything. You see the old upside down Hawaiian flag, turn around because that's not where you belong.
Yeah, no. I apologize for the Calvinists who came over and I tried to outlaw your sport.
So
fine.
Doug Kenny.
Yes. All right. This is a...
Who...
I see where you're going.
Right?
Okay. Should we tell the listeners who Doug Kenny is?
Yeah, Doug Kenny was a really, really funny writer and one of the guys who created National Lampoon, the magazine. Then he went on to write... on Saturday Night Live. Then he wrote Animal House, Caddyshack, and a couple other movies, and was a writer, producer guy, also a very troubled soul.
Very troubled. He was also Stork in Animal House.
That's right.
The kind of the goofy looking.
Well, what we're supposed to do, you moron?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love that look too.
Yeah, I mean, I was
disappointed when I found out he had really super long hair because I thought that guy was like they had to pull him out of the fucking sticks. He was great. He jumped off a cliff in Hawaii, but I just don't. My first thought was, I feel like maybe he was a white guy out on the rocks.
Yeah. Well, you know Harold Ramis's famous line about that. He's like, when he found out Doug Kenny killed himself, he said, well, knowing Doug, he probably slipped and fell on the way to jumping off.
Carol Ramis is funny, too.
That's paraphrased. I'm sure Ramis said it a lot better.
I watched that movie that they made about it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was okay for me. It was a lot of, I was talking with that Dana Gould, our friend Dana Gould, I saw the other day, a lot of wigs.
Yeah.
A lot of wigs. I find wigs troublesome. The 70s really wrecks it for people.
I don't understand. I talked to this a lot with my wife, who's a costume designer, about wigs in movies and how everything else is advanced except wigs. They can CGI in a dinosaur that's believable and it'll give me nightmares, but you put a wig on it, done.
Yeah. Like, the only show that really kind of did a good job of it, I thought, was because they did were exquisite with everything, was Mad Men, which is a couple guys grew their hair long. Not everybody.
Right.
And not everybody put on a flowered shirt. And not everybody, like I grew up back then, most people looked, you know, like most people had like the half sort of long hair thick thing. Mm-hmm. But there was not that many long haireds. There were not that many gigantic flare people.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I learned just talking to my wife about her because she did a movie called Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, yeah.
Coen Brothers.
Thing. Oh, yeah.
And it was in the 60s in New York.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, there are no hippies in New York at that point.
Yep.
You know, they're all West Coast. You know, that took years for that to even come to. If you look at Woodstock, the movie Woodstock, how many hippie looking people are there? I would say a third of them. Not even a third of them are hippie. They're all school. They're all college. School kids.
It's amazing. I love what your wife does, by the way. I just stop movies and look at them as paintings.
Yeah.
And anybody that makes the painting continue all the way into the back room, that stuff just, and costume design and set direction, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like I just go crazy for
this. This is my wife's worst time of year is Halloween because people expect her family to be, you know, dressed
right
in these exquisite Halloween You know, it's like when people
go the opposite and buy the worst. You should buy the ones that come in bags.
Just like the plastic C-3PO face with the picture of C-3PO on the chest.
That's right. Yes. So they knew. Or like just a Casper mask that will not fit. And it's cracked down at the bottom. Some people, it keeps hitting your lip. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, can I tell you what we're going to be for Halloween for this themed, science-themed party?
Oh, science. Okay.
It's science-themed.
Yeah.
And all right. Well, 2 years ago, we went to the same party, and it was oceanic-themed. And so we don't want to... Who wants to buy a costume they're going to wear one day? You know what I mean? So I had Mary all dressed in blue and Frank all dressed in black and I dressed all in red. And then we just went and bought little toy fish and stars and stuck it all over. And she went as the Red Sea and I went as the Black Sea and awesome. She went as the Deep Blue Sea.
I love that.
We won. We won. It's also a contest. So we won first prize. So this year... science themed. So I got t-shirts made. I have a plus sign.
Yes.
In a circle. Mary has the minus sign.
Yep.
So positive, negative.
Yeah.
Frank has the +/- sign. So it's no charge.
Right.
So we got positive, negative, no charge. And we're going as, ready? The Addams Family.
I fucking love it. I want to see a pilot presentation on my desk tomorrow morning. I want to see the Addams Family. And not an animation. See it. That's fucking great. Amira every year dresses just like she normally does. Very stylish, super cool. And on Halloween, she carries 4 miniature people in her hand and she goes, I'm a giant. And that's what she does every year. I'm a giant. There's a little tiny people. And that's a good one.
That's fantastic.
In college, I'm going to go ahead and say this, Megyn Kelly. Trading Places.
Okay, sure.
And Dan Aykroyd is in blackface as a Jamaican man.
Right.
In a movie with a black man. So when she says it was okay, I think, no, it was never okay, but they took their clue from a culturally relevant moment that people were like, well, it's okay for Dan Aykroyd, and he's in it with Eddie Murphy, and we're all, plus we're just being Jamaicans, we don't even know what that is. Right. So we're going to make the funny voices on and that kind of thing. So that's my war. So I did that 1 year, but as I was starting to put the blackface on, I went, I think I'm just going to do the rig.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just thought something went, nope, this feels wrong. I know we've got the thing and I don't want those photos to show up. But I also have to say that sometimes we back in. And
when you run for office, you don't want those to
show up. I want to run with them. I want to win. I don't want people to like me. I want to win. That's how it works. I feel like, you know, we were hanging people without a trial. You know, it's like, I'm not Megyn, not that Megyn Kelly shouldn't be, I don't know, but just like, God, people make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and not everything also is a negative. You know, some kid, little kid dresses up like Hank Aaron. You're like, well, he liked Hank Aaron. He just thought he was. But my favorite was that I took the brims off of Halloween hats and went as pencils.
Oh, nice.
It's just all yellow and then that pointy thing on the top. Nobody cared. But
right, sure.
But then I went, I don't love a costume. I don't. Yeah. I like, I've never been a costume.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. You know what? 1 year I did, I was still working in restaurants here and we had the night off for Halloween. So a bunch of us all went up to Santa Monica Boulevard. Has this giant parade and they call it a parade, but it's really just a million people all dressed up in costume, drunk and high, going in and out of the bars. Just a ton of drag queens. And so I dressed as Ed Grimley.
Oh my God, I love Ed Grimley.
Martin Short's character, Ed Grimley. And I got that point in the hair. I pegged it like we used to do with the Liberty Spikes.
Yeah.
You know, blue dry it.
Yeah.
Stiff and hard.
Liberty Spikes.
And just went out and we, you know, was young. We drank and party and have a good time and dance with drag queens, and then around 1:30 in the morning I went into the bathroom to pee and I looked in the mirror and my point had fallen slowly falling over, so I went from Ed Grimley and I looked like a quail
Just, oh my God, a quail.
I couldn't get it back up. Like, we got to go home.
Too drunk. Too drunk, man.
Too drunk to Ed Grimley.
Oh man, you couldn't Grimley. That's awesome. My favorite costume I ever had was when I was a really little boy. I had, there were just less people. So sometimes they made things that were nice. I had leather, I had suede chaps, cowboy boots, a red shirt, a white hat with red trim, and guns, two fucking cap guns on both sides. And I was like, man, I would be. Like, yeah. I would dress as a cowboy if you could, you know. And I loved the cap guns. I loved the guns part of it. And I loved cowboys and Indians. We didn't really, I was really like, I don't remember playing cowboys and Indians. I just remember playing cowboys and cowboys and more cowboys. And also, are there going to be cowgirls?
Right, right.
I don't ever remember somebody going, you got to be the Indian. I would have wanted to be the Mohawk Indian, though, immediately. I've always thought Indians were way cooler looking.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait, not to talk about my wife more. Wait till you see Buster Scruggs.
I can't wait.
In this, it's phenomenal. Some of her best work, I think.
I can't wait.
Speaking of Halloween, I'm going to say this last, I tweeted, and I said this last week, but they still kept coming. So I'm going to mention this again. So I tweeted some stupid joke about having to take my kid around the neighborhood to sell raffle tickets because they need to raise money for his public school for supplies.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tied it in with the government spending billions of dollars on military, whatever.
Yep. And then we got to make it up with the lotto.
Yeah, exactly. A ton of listeners like Venmo'd me all this money for raffle tickets for my kid's thing.
What the hell?
And so I'm looking at them over there. So they kept coming, and I just want to say thank you guys so much. I super appreciate it. It was not my intention. But I will say this, anybody who bought more than 10, I know your phone number now. Because I had to fill them all out.
Oh, my gosh.
I had to fill them all out. So I'm like, Mark, 323-477-323-477-323. So, Mark, I'm going to give you a call.
Yeah. Wow, that's nice. Give him a call and thank him. Well, that's so nice, man.
So that was super cool. And a lot of you said, if you win, just give it back to the school. Some of you didn't. So if anybody wins, you'll get a phone call from the school. So, and thank you very much. And then now I have to also go volunteer at the Big Boo Festival tomorrow.
All the schools ask for money, by the way. The amount that they ask at the private schools is silly.
Oh.
And
we went to private preschool and paying what we paid and then asked on top of that.
Yeah. It's incredible too, because we live here in Hollywood, and if you're at a private school, then you're going to probably run into one or two, if not 13 or 14 celebrities.
Sure, absolutely.
But there was a celebrity at our school that her name is Gwen Stefani, and this is kind of a cool story.
Who?
Was that?
Who?
Gwen Stefani from the No Doubt.
Yep. Oh, right. Okay, sure.
She, look, the thing about her that people don't know is that that fool and her money are not easily parted.
Oh, really?
She turned at one point to her manager, who is an old friend of ours, and said, you know what? 8% of Gwen and No Doubt is better than most people get with their 15%. So we're going to go to 8%.
Oh, wow.
And then she said to the school, I will give one donation and I will play one concert. And that's what I will do. And then we'll be done. And I have to say, I admire that because there is this sort of guilting, you know, I'm not... People have money and they have money. They want to go to private school. But I just feel like sometimes, like, you know, when things are, and I get it, but because they're all businesses, all businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
And public schools, it's tough down here. You know, some good ones, but there's some good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of public schools that are just underfunded, too many kids,
absolutely,
not enough. And then the private schools, there's a lot of private school money around here, mm-hmm, you know, and I understand it. It's a business too.
Sure.
And then you got to go, because they all want to become top to bottom.
Yeah.
They want your kid the whole time.
Oh, absolutely. T to B, top to bottom.
Top to bottom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sell up. It's
now,
all sales.
We've talked about this. Can you tell us who some of the other celebrities are that goes to your school?
Sure. Well, so the old school, which we're no longer at. Mm-hmm. So the grammar school, we had, you had your Dave Grohl.
Mm.
Who was on a day-to-day basis, one of the nicest guys, holding doors open for people, one day a guy came up, put his arm around me and like jokingly put his head on my shoulder. And I went,
I don't even think I know anyone that well at the school besides Amira. Oh, hi, Dave, that we've talked four times. Well, all right.
Seriously, the nicest guy. I know it's easy to say, you know, things you say about Tom Hanks, but the few interactions I had with him is just the nicest guy.
My buddy Morello, same thing. It makes their lives easier when this is a real lesson. Be nice to people and your life just fucking moves because he's done something. He's acknowledged you before you came at him. Mm-hmm. Not that I would, but I'm saying, and then you're like, oh, wow, it was nice. And, you know, and look, you know, this whole idea, I don't remember who said this to me the other day, but the quote was, look, he puts his pants on the same way we do. Then he goes and makes a hit album, but he put his pants goes on the same way that he writes a bunch of super hits. Like, you know, some people are worth the fucking adulation that they get. Yeah. You're like, God damn it. You really have set yourself apart from a billion other fucking human beings. Mm. You're a guy we all know. That's kind of neat. Same with Gwen. Same with Paul Stanley, who's there, who's looks, you know, but Paul's almost 70. So he doesn't, it's all probably worn off a bit. So he doesn't spend a lot of time trying to make friends.
I don't think Paul Stanley spent a lot of time trying to make friends through his whole life.
I mean, look, he was in face paint, you know? So I think, but it's interesting. Actors, while they're super cool, they just don't have the same thing as the rock stars.
Yeah, I know.
You know, there were some great actors at our school too. Ben Stiller was there for a little bit. And you had your Julie Bowen from Modern Family. Right. And, there was a George Lopez, if you love, you get your comedy.
Sure.
And now at the other school I'm at, I'm always surprised because it's a bigger school and it goes from grammar school all the way through high school. And I'll turn around and go, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm hi, Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
What are you standing behind me for? Oh, because you have kids here, you know. at Christmas time when the girls performed their Nutcracker, the way they do, in attendance was Lady Gaga, marrying the agent who has a kid there. So, you know, and the funny thing is too, like, about 10 minutes in, you forget they're there and then everyone's a parent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
no, absolutely.
Everyone is a parent and they want to, and we're all focused on this other thing. And you know,
that's what I like about this school. Our private school was the same way, but this public school is no, it doesn't seem like really anybody's in the business. And if they are, they're like accountants or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is. You mentioned like I've met and hung out with celebrities, as I'm sure you have also, being a celebrity. I don't get starstruck when it comes to actors. I don't get really starstruck. You know what I mean? But one night, Mary and I were out at dinner at a great Italian restaurant called Matteo's over here on Beverly. And the wine guy is going over the wine list, and Mick Jagger walked in. And I did a yell whisper.
Mary! Right behind you! Now look, it's Mick Jagger!
Oh my fuck.
Wine guy's like, shut up with the wine! Everybody stop!
Oh my god.
But same night it was Al Pacino and I didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay, so when we started there, Beverly D'Angelo and Al Pacino were there. Mm-hmm. And at one point, he was just there for 1 year. But at one point, he walked across we were all going to a thing in the assembly or something in the gym, and he walked by me, and I went, I don't know, Richard Lewis is here. He says, that's Al Pacino. And I went, oh, wow. Okay. I'm always surprised. It is always rock stars.
Right.
I was at the curb and a guy also sat down and I had my guitar with me. He put his guitar down and he said, look at us just waiting to get waiting for our cars with our guitars. And I, it was fucking John Doe. And I went, like that. Julian Casablancas from the Strokes was at the fucking pizza place. And Amira goes, he's actually looking at you. Go say hi. I'm not going to fucking talk to him. I got nothing to say to him. I can't. I got a heart on.
Right.
Like, I just didn't know what to say. And then she finally, there's nothing I can say. I just love him. Some people just connect with you. But it, for me, it's always guys in bands. It's, I mean, shit, you know, you guys are around the Coen brothers. So you probably see him. Although, interestingly about those guys is, when they go to make a movie, those people will eventually become stars,
right?
Because they're always sort of refreshing the casting, and they'll mm-hmm. they'll be a there'll always be a notable in there, but sure, there's a handful of the, you know, Oscar Isaac and, and the, you know,
absolutely. Now, has anybody, now my buddy Jake Johansson, who's got a lovely daughter,
I love him.
And your buddy Jake Johansson,
yeah, love
you
that guys guy.
You didn't get started together, did you? Or do you just know?
No, but he was my first favorite only comic because I didn't want to do comedy and I didn't think comedy was cool because I'm an asshole. And I saw Jake on something. And I was like, he looked like fucking, you know, when he started, he looked like he could have easily been in Elvis Costello's band.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? He had curly hair, round glasses, big 40s ties, and he was quirkier. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he was young and he had a, my favorite one was my dad's the mayor. He was the fifth caller, you know. Fucking, ah, that's a great, of course he was the fifth caller, but God damn it. And I was like, who the fuck is that guy?
Right.
And I sort of, you know, I jaked it a little bit.
Yeah.
If I'd get in trouble on stage, I couldn't, you know, with my screaming thing, then if I was going badly, I could just hold the punchline for a few minutes. You have to have a punchline to do that. I usually didn't.
Right.
But yeah, so I love Jake.
Well, Jake told me, because he's got, again, a daughter older than, and he recommended his preschool for my son. And coincidentally enough, a guy I surf with's wife teaches there and knows Jake. And it's, anyway, who cares? He said, whatever you do, don't let them know you're a comedian, or else you'll be having to do fundraisers for the rest of your life for the school.
Oh my God.
And he does. And he still, I don't know if he does it anymore, but he did a fundraiser for that preschool up until, I don't know, 3 years ago, I think. I don't even know if he's still doing it. And so it's,
I did it once.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
but you know what's funny? At my school, I wouldn't get asked. I don't let them know because I don't want to not get asked. I don't want to, oh, is that, Tom Papa. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay. Have you seen? Okay. My work. I'm just saying.
Oh, geez, is that right? I guess that's how vain and blind I am. I don't want anybody to know.
Can I tell you something? If they ask me to do something, I'd be like, I don't want to fucking do that. Here's a great story. So at the school that we're currently at, we can't even afford to go to the functions.
Right.
I mean, dude, it is, you know, it's bleeding me dry. And, but to be fair, I didn't care much for school. I didn't do well in it. I loved the social aspect of it.
Sure.
And I loved college, but I still didn't take advantage of it with my brain. My daughters are both motivated. They both liked learning. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're, you know, they're not like nerds. They're a little bit like, whatever.
Right.
True's like, I don't even really like history. I know what you're doing super well. And I don't like it. Okay. All right. Weird fucking person. But we went to this one event and there was a silent auction. And I have been asked to do those and they're the fucking worst. You have to ask already rich people who've made this thing to bid on shit they don't want because they own a home there. So why are they going to take a trip?
Right, right.
Why do they need the hockey jerseys of the, right? There's just all this shit. And they're fucking awful and people stop paying attention to you and you're trying to make jokes and you get nervous and it's awful. Sharon Stone did it. She hosted it, and I've never seen anybody fucking do it better.
Really?
I don't care what anyone ever says about her. I don't care if she goes out and cuts the heads off of white tigers.
Right.
She was so fucking balls, and she walked up to the richest people, and she put her hand down on their table, and she was funny, and she did it for a fucking hour and a half.
Wow.
You know, that you have to do it, right? And everyone's eating and shit. And I was like, I have so much respect for you, I can't even tell you. Like, there are some show business bridges you're asked to cross in your life when you're doing charity things that are hard. They're like, this is not for you doing well. This is, maybe people won't think you're funny at the end of this, but you help the school.
Sure.
And man, I was like, man, that she was fucking phenomenal.
That's amazing. That's
great. It was really interesting because when I heard it was going to be her, I was like, oh, she'll probably quit after about 5 minutes or be a deep, but not at all. That's she was fantastic. Boots on the ground, man.
I was very close to being asked to do our preschool one, and everybody assumed that I was going to do it because I was the only comedian at the school.
Yeah.
But we had gotten into a fight with the woman who owns the school, and we had written our donation check that year for $25. This is your, and we're out of here at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, and that's how I dodged the bullet.
Yeah.
Of having to host that stupid thing at the Standard in fucking
Sunset Strip God, on a Saturday night. Man, you don't I don't even like going there to the Comedy Store.
No.
Yeah.
I don't. Do you do sets at the Comedy Store?
Not anymore.
Yeah, they told me to call, and then they told my manager the guy's like, have him call me on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to work at the Improv. Oh, yeah, okay. No, man, I mean, we're doing it different. We're changing the club. That sounds good. My manager calls up on Monday last night. He goes, man, we got too many guys already. We can have him, maybe in a couple of months, we'll have him do an audition. I was like,
an audition?
Send him a special or no? Okay. Then I was like, this is the kind of true thing. Someone said to me, are you going to do a, how come you never do Marin? I go, because he didn't ask me.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you ask him? Because that would be gross. And that's not the interview I want to do.
Right, right.
I don't, and also, he doesn't have to like me. Like, there's no bad blood between us.
Sure.
Why he's never asked me, it doesn't matter. Point is, nothing is ever great unless, if someone doesn't want you. When you force your way onto something, you're like, oh, this is weird. This feels ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did decide, I was like, I do have friends that go there. And I thought, I'm going to ask some friends, like, when they go, if I can go with them to watch them.
Sure.
Like, go see Mary Lynn or go see my friend Jay. Like, just to go watch, be around. And then if people go, hey, how come you never do sets here? I say, oh, I don't know. And then, but I think that thing sometimes of like, when the universe wants you, they'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't not know you're not around.
Yeah. I remember I had to sue a production company for firing me under contract for doing their pilot and then getting it picked up for 10 episodes. And my manager and lawyer are like, yeah, yeah, man, we'll fight and we'll get you back in. I'm like, no, I don't want to go back. They don't want me there. Let's just fight and get the money that they said they would give me. I'm fine. I did my job. I know I did it well. I don't want to be there if they don't want me there. Let's not.
These guys stole a show from me.
Yeah.
And then I won. I mean, we did, it wasn't even litigation. They just went, you know, and then they're like, yo, you're a producer. Yeah. Not going to work there.
No.
Those guys.
Producer by name.
Those guys. I thought this guy was. I walked past these guys and I thought, Jesus, that guy's a dick. And then someone said, that's the guy that took your show.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's why he didn't. Okay. Oh, I gotcha.
I know that guy and he is a dick.
Yeah. 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 and now that's over and I got some money and then I'm going to go do it at up at Sketchfest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You bringing it back?
Because they asked me.
Good.
I mean, I wouldn't have said, let's go do it, but they, you know, they asked me and the kids in the band all want to do it.
Oh, awesome. They'll I bring saw the rock you do show. That, bring the rock at Sketchfest a couple years ago. Well, I guess it's more than a couple now. Was that Cobbs?
Yeah. It wasn't that all. I was like, that's, I think that might've been the last one I did.
I'm trying to remember who was on it. I know Chris Hardwick was on it. You opened with a Pixies song.
Yeah, that sounds right. It was Hardwick, and then I think it was, oh, I know exactly what it was. Hardwick. It was Bridget Everett. It was the dark haired Garfunkel.
Oh, right, yes, from Garfunkel and Oates.
Kate Micucci.
Micucci, yeah.
And I think maybe either Matt Nathanson. It wasn't the year that that Siegel did it. What's his name?
Ty Siegel?
No.
Mike Siegel?
Isn't his name Siegel? The guy from... hey, man. You know... hey, man. Hey, man.
Oh, hey, man guy.
Hey, man. Fuck, he's done a million movies, and that's what you try and bring up? The thing with him and Paul Rudd? Were their best friends, the best man or whatever they're called. God damn it. I don't know what the fuck it's called. Jason Segel.
Oh, Jason Segel. Oh, hey, man.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Hey, hey, guy. Hey, fella.
That
dude.
Could be a Jason Segel movie title. Hey, man.
And he's fucking great, but he's sober now, but he was not sober that night. And he was so drunk when he got there. He went, I was like, oh, my God, fuck, what? Oh, you're hugging me like a bear. And then he went up and he fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
I think he got a phone number and he fucking left. Yeah. And, but he was good. Yeah. That's a fun show. And the last one I did at Largo was, Tom Morello, Beth Stelling. Like with Largo, you're like, you gotta put some bodies on the stage because they're not coming to see you. And
tickets
are expensive. Stelling, Morello, I can't remember somebody else, but that's a fun show.
That is a fun show.
It's a fun show. Telling the rock stories and then performing the rock songs the way that people want to. Are you going to Sketchfest this year?
No, No, I mean, yeah. I can't. I'm down. I'm not on the fest circuit now. I can't. I don't.
I'm not on any.
I don't know. I find it hard to go to festivals because they pay so little, and I'm gonna go out and party for 3 nights. You know what I mean? While my wife is raising our kid.
Here's the thing.
I feel a little.
Yeah, they're conventions. Business conventions. San Francisco. I'm from there. I usually don't make them pay for a hotel. I stay with my dad.
Sure.
And it's Barney, who I've known for ever in a day. But I don't get to. I think I did the Portland one a couple of times. I do like them.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them when I'm there because I like getting to see and know some of the other people, especially the younger comics. I get a kick out of.
Sure.
Like whenever I'm on the road, my favorite thing is the other comics. Like if they're fun, that sitting backstage talking stuff.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Especially if they're good.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah.
not always.
But last time I did Sketchfest, I had a show on Friday, and then I did my podcast at like noon. And then I had all Saturday just to go out and see your show and see there was a Revenge of the Nerds thing. I went with and hung out with Sobel over there and like, you know, then Pollock and, you know, just saw good comedy and hung out with friends and made new friends and laughed and had a great time.
But it's funny because when you're young and you say, I want to get invited to that thing. And then you go and you go, yeah, nothing happens. I mean, you do stand up and then everyone's hungover and goes home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. Nothing, you don't ascend. It's not like the old days of when you go to Aspen and then you're like, oh man, after this, I'm gonna have a deal.
Yeah,
it's a made sitcom that'll never get made. But you know,
those days are over.
Yeah, I mean, where would anybody put you anymore? And then they're like, look, I'm gonna be able to get you a series on Instagram. I already have one, Lonely Ghost Addict Stay at Home Candy Review Show. So why don't you go ahead and check that out? Produce it myself and a shoot it myself.
Oh yeah, I don't follow you.
Well, you're going to have to get over on It's Gregor's because people are loving it over there.
Oh.
I'm doing some of my best unpaid work. I'm doing it everywhere. I'm doing unpaid work. I'm doing podcasts of my own that I the unpaid work and I enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but I was being the character of the guy pitching you the series.
No,
I said I don't follow.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm still talking to him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not good at this.
But I'm telling him, no, you are.
No.
You're quite good. Quite good.
You want to talk about the album before we have to wrap this up?
Yeah, I have an album out called Why Are You In Here? And I have to be honest, I was nervous about making it, and I didn't know if it was any good, and I don't listen to it very I didn't listen to it much because I haven't been doing a lot of club dates,
sure.
And I think it's really hard to do an hour successfully when you haven't toured a lot.
Right, yeah.
And we did it in Portland, and it was fucking bloody awful.
Oh, really?
Like, if I looked at some of this, like, I videotaped it, so some of that stuff looked good, but on record, it just sounded bad.
Hmm.
And I said to them, look, I can't put this out. I'm sorry. I know. And they were really cool. I did it with Audible, and they said, fine, when's your next date? We'll do it there. So I recorded it in Minneapolis. Of course, I had two amazing shows, and then I did that one, and it was not the amazing one, but for some reason, it sounds great.
Okay.
I got like people asking questions in the middle of it. Somebody asked me to do a whole different bit from an earlier record. nobody was really playing along. But there's also the energy of like, oh, this is how this is going to go.
Right.
All right. And I have to be cheerful about it. I can't be a dick. And people have been responding really, really kindly, and they did a really nice job of like editing it.
Now, did you just tape one show, or did you tape a couple and cut them together?
I taped a couple, but you know the way I do, now that I've learned about editing, like I taught myself about it, trying to learn more about it. But I never do the same bit the same way ever,
right?
Any time, and so it's hard to edit mine. But I think we just took one show and cobbled it together.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like, let's lean it.
Mm-hmm.
If the joke isn't there and it's better over here, but the bit is fine on its own, let's just leave it. I feel like I do like, people are forgiving. They're not there waiting, counting their laughs. They
just
want to know where you're going. And if you get somewhere, they don't fucking care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you watch the special that the guy did where he did it in a room without any sound, without a crowd on HBO?
No, who was that?
Some young cat. They had him on the other day. I don't know who he is. I just saw that he was like, I'm doing a special and I'm doing this is it. I'm doing it like this.
Okay.
And I thought, that's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
to make it that hard on yourself, because it is a, the trick is getting a stranger. I mean, I love a good story, but tell a story and then slow down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feed, this is going to sound so artsy fartsy, but the more laughs I get, the more energized I get. The more, you know, the more, oh, I want to do this and let's do it. Let's do this more. Let's,
well, you stop
on top of that. Let's do this.
I mean, when it's really good, you stop telling a story and you start living it.
Yeah.
And then you go, plus, here's the thing I fucking haven't talked about. When that happened, and all of a sudden it's like when you're at a, like when you're at a party really fucking happening, and you're, here comes this whole thing because they're giving you. Here, take this energy. Yeah. So doing it, I mean, look. It's like theater. I mean, it's like doing a play. So I guess you just, your approach is different. Mm-hmm. I certainly think all roads are, you know, like Hannah Gadsby. Boy, there were a lot of hand-wringing about that one.
Yeah.
And, it was like, A, you don't know Australian comedy. B, I went on the road with her for months. I mean, she's a comic, fucking, she's a comic. She's a fucking great comic. But this is, we caught her in the middle of her life that we don't live with her in Australia. And she's having this moment, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's just as much a piece of comedy. You know, I like to laugh. Yeah, fucking count your laughs in any special.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Anybody, even your favorite comic. It's like, you know, Burr, I fucking, like, there are very few guys that can make a whole thing funny. Mm-hmm. And I mean that, and I don't mean that as a put down, but even, you know, but you walk away with the one thing, right? You're like, oh, the fucking helicopter bit at the end of the Burr thing. It's all good. You're loving it. But then he goes to this place, and that's what you walk away with.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it can be anything.
Sure.
You know?
But I like the idea of, and that's how I did my last album, was one show.
And
One show.
And put it all on the line.
Yeah. Put it all on the line. And because it's got, it's not, if I think every good, every show, I hate to compare it to the Grateful Dead because that's pretty divisive. I'll be honest with you. But they did a different show every night of the week. Same songs, different show.
That's what I do.
And you're only going to get that special moment that night. That's how I try to do it.
Somebody said to me once, they said, you know, you, I know you like rock and roll, but you're closer to a jazz musician in that you riff on your thing. And even when it goes bad for you, the way you go bad is weird rhythms and speeds. And it's never the same. They're the same stories,
certainly.
But sometimes you don't, you drop the tag or you move a piece around or whatever. And I said, I think it's only because I hate the burden of linear thinking. Mm. I would speak in numbers if I could, or colors. I mean, I would, I mean, sometimes I look at a Mark Ryden painting and go, that's how I think. There's that bird, that man made of meat, and the sun is pink. Like and so stand up actually is one of the only places where you don't have to show your hand by showing anyone what you wrote. So some guys, every single word, you know, Mulaney or Seinfeld,
right?
And me, it's like, does that say catcher's mitt? Nope. That says chain wallet. Oh, and what is that? It's a thing I'm thinking of. Because if I write it out, it ruins it. And then if I try and say it, it gets even further away from me.
Yeah, I left my notebook at the improv the other night, and it's gone.
Oh no!
And
are you a writer?
No. I'm a like that. I'm notes. Like, I draw a picture of a lobster and
there it is. Right.
It's actually 10 minutes on Cars.
Right. Right. So
The only thing I was worried about is, oh my God, do I have somebody's phone numbers in there that I wrote down, you know, or whatever. But everybody's like, oh my God, are they going to steal your jokes? There is not a joke in that notebook anywhere. It's a lot of doodles.
Fuck. If they do, I'd love to see how they perform them because I would love a hint at how that could be better. I'd love to see that performed. I do love that idea. You know, sometimes when you learn people's bits and you know, I get a real kick out of doing other people's bits, like when I can get them or when other people do them. And a friend of mine goes, I heard this story the other day and I had heard that it was a story that Billy Gardell told about somebody, but it had gotten to the point where they were doing an imitation of Billy Gardell doing an imitation of somebody else. My friend goes, when Billy actually told the story, I was a little disappointed because Brian's version of Kevin's version
of it was really amazing. You know? And Billy was a little bit left flat. They didn't love it, you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Billy Gardell, maybe the nicest guy on the planet.
Fuck, that guy is awesome. Yeah. I got to say, I worked with him for the first time in up in Montreal. We mm-hmm. did some... We were on some sort of a relationship show thing, themed thing.
Right.
And of course, I saw him and I went, I'm not going to like this guy. Sure. He's going to be probably just going to talk about hockey. He was fucking great. He was great. And then he's such a nice guy and always, you know, yeah, yep. I see him all the time. He lives right around the corner from
me. Oh, he does?
Yeah, he lives right down the street. He's got a nice, he's got a couple of nice automobiles.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. He had a nice run on that show.
And he's a good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a good actor.
I missed him playing Colonel Tom Parker on some...
I kind of want him to drift into the Coen world. He feels like a flat top and put him somewhere. Like, seems like he's, you know, because old John Goodman there's gotten real small.
Yeah, yeah.
But you always got to have that... They love that guy.
Yeah.
They love that big guy. Yeah. They love him.
Oh, who's Durning? Charles Durning? Is that his name?
Charles Durning, yeah.
And from Oh Brother, was that the right guy?
Oh, am I getting the right man. Name on that? Yes. You can come down and scream into a can.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what's his name too? Stephen Root.
Yes.
Charles Durning is the mayor, right?
Or the big
guy
mayor,
running for governor. Yeah. Pappy O'Dano.
Yeah.
Pappy O'Dano. Fuck that movie. God damn it. Those guys, I can't even. I watched. Who cares? Fucking cares. Nobody cares. I watched The Man Who Wasn't There. Just nobody the cares. Shoot.
Just pulled it.
Yeah.
All right. So real quick, what are the names of all your albums here?
So that's my record. Why Are You In Here? It's on Audible, and then it's going to be wide. By the time this comes out, it'll be on everything. So you can get it on iTunes or Amazon, whatever.
Straight Dig, though.
Straight Dig. We're going straight Dig. Love to have something in a hard. What is that called? A hard copy. You know, the only people that are making albums are girls right now.
What do you mean?
I have seen vinyl, but always from girls. Claire Kane.
Really?
Is hers come out in that Pepsi bottle color, something like that? And Amy Miller.
Uh-huh.
I made a terrific one. It's in gold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
And all the good vinyl's coming out. So if you're a vinyl guy and you love comics,
sure.
But if you're looking for vinyl, look in the that gender.
Okay.
You'll find more vinyl.
Okay.
I think people are going, I don't want that guy's stupid vinyl.
Right.
I like him, but she's not Claire Kane funny. Claire Kane is fucking, and also her looks like a bottle.
Yeah. Vinyl funny. That's a record player right behind
me. That is behind you?
Yeah. Open it up and it slides out.
I love your house.
It sounds terrible because it's from 1962.
Who cares? You're going to listen to it on your fucking phone anyway.
I got some for some reason. Yeah, I'm part of the U2 fan club. Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
So they sent me this vinyl remix of a bunch of songs. And so I've been listening to that on the
How is
player.
It?
It's good. I mean, it's cool. If you like remixes.
Yeah.
I don't mind them. Depends. But it's weird to listen to this vinyl remix.
A really funny
on a 1962 record player.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm about to give you a piece of information I can tell you off air because it's not interesting for the listener.
Okay. My vinyl remix U2 was interesting.
I thought it was good.
Oh, all right.
I was going to bring back up U2 and Paul Stanley again, and we're going to go down a path we don't need to go down.
Okay. All right. Well, man, listen, I wanted to thank you for coming over and catching up.
Yeah, dude.
And,
it's so fun.
We did this in my living room. I don't know if I mentioned it because I just wanted to hang. I haven't seen Greg in a while. Greg is one of the people, and I'm going to tell you this, which I tell other people, for the rest of your life, you'll get a random text from me saying, hey, thanks for spending the day with me when I was recovering.
Oh, dude.
And just expect them. They'll be coming in random places.
Love it.
Be in a nursing home somewhere.
No, I get it. I get it. I have the, same thing. Same with you. I really didn't have that many people, but it's really fucking interesting and great when people show up and you don't know that they're going to, or you didn't know that they would.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's good.
So cool. So thanks for doing that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man. You got it.
And you gave me this awesome bracelet that I wore every day until my kid ripped it off my wrist.
We'll solve that. I can solve that problem.
All right, man. So where can we find you? What can we?
It's Gregor's. That's it. Go over to that Instagram. Yeah, there's a Greg. There's a Greg. I think it's Gregory Barron is my Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine if you like tweets about where I'm going to be. And then my Facebook is a gesture.
It's a, the gesture that you have when you have a Facebook page and you put up your dates, and sometimes you write a little article and nobody cares.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And check out the
Oh, my podcast with my wife. Maybe it's you. Yep. That's a good one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love it. All right, man. Greg, thanks for coming. I'll be up in the Pacific Northwest all of November, so if you're around, give me a shout and check it out if you'd like. And that's really it. Greg, thanks for coming. And when Greg comes to your town, go out and check him out, man. He's really funny.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, buddy.
You want to know about life on the road? It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great a bachelorette, drunks in the front making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.